Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Little Bayside beats right here. Try, man. Hey. This is like Green Lady Lounge vibes.
Yeah, it's nice.
You ever been there?
Not yet.
Okay. You gotta check it out.
If this is the vibe that I'm in.
We should go to the Green Lady Lounge before we go to Arrowhead on Sunday.
Yeah.
Go get a couple sidecars. I mean, we're gonna be there for 8 hours.
You'll be there for a minute.
Yeah. Red Friday here on 96.5, the Fan, Chiefs and Lions on Sunday night football. Jared Goff, 2-0 against Patrick Mahomes. See if that number changes. So I'm sitting at the house yesterday after the show, and I'm thinking to myself, we're seeing a lot of these younger quarterbacks get opportunities and do well, or we're seeing quarterbacks that were other places that were given up on now thriving. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Mac Jones, right? Mac Jones has done well in San Francisco.
Daniel Jones, too.
Another one.
Yep.
For sure, another one. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is interesting. And I want to give credit to, because what is it? Craig Cosell, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Craig Cosell, yeah.
Craig Cosell, yeah.
The NFL writer and whatever. He's on with Colin Cowherd. And Colin hits him with a stat about how there are 15 quarterbacks after 5 weeks that have a QBR of 100 or more. Now.
That's half the league.
Right? And that's pretty high. Last year, there were 10 by the end of the season. And I think there was actually a total of like 12, but one of them was like Marcus Mariota. Another one was a guy that there weren't enough starts to classify.
Yeah, sample. You gotcha.
Right. So I'm thinking to myself, because we've said this before, the 3 points that you used to get at home games is kind of run amok.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I think quarterback play has gotten better, where you can't just kind of automatically give a team 3 points. And even this line this week is 2.5 for the Chiefs. It's not 3. It's still a mesmerizing line to me. And I was wondering if it's quarterback talent play in the NFL that's gotten better, which I think is the obvious. I think quarterbacks are just genuinely better than they have been in the past. But also, there seems to be this new sort of wave, maybe not a new wave, but it's catching on, which is the younger coaches are thriving, right? Like, you look at guys like Kevin O'Connell. You look at Liam Cohen. He's done well. You look at guys like the tree of Sean McVay and all those guys. And there are still the OG coaches, right? But Pete Carroll's lost it, I think. I mean, he doesn't look like he's – we're not talking about how good Pete is.
No, I don't know if it's him or the quarterback. I mean, Geno Smith.
He brought him.
I know.
He brought him. That's Pete thinking that he had something.
Yeah.
And it ain't working.
Well, people have brought Russell Wilson to multiple franchises since then, too. Desperation Samba, man. Like, that's what that was in Oakland. Like, who were you going to go with down there?
Because Seattle's coach is fairly young.
And Mike McDonald's great.
Yeah.
And he's done well.
Really like him.
And you're seeing this connection of these younger youth coaches and their quarterbacks getting on the same page. Saw what looked like last night in New York. D. Daboll has his guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy was a college quarterback last year that I believe somebody that does this show said I was a complete buffoon thinking that this kid would go in the first round. Hey, don't, sweetheart.
Still not fully sold on him, but yes, you were right.
But he went in the first round, so the argument's over.
Oh, no. Yeah, he was right about that. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he's going to be everything and all that, but yes. I mean, he looks good
he
for does. Now.
He looks good right now. He looks great.
Yep. Kevin O'Connell, Stefanski. You look at what he's doing.
Well, I wouldn't put that guy in that
category. Coach of the year twice.
Yeah. Cleveland's paying 8 quarterbacks this year, by the way.
Steichen in
Steichen in
Indianapolis is doing well.
Really like him.
Sean McVay was kind of the trailblazer of it. Him and Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan. And they kind of like were the trailblazers. But you're starting to see this youth in these quarterbacks connect. And it's showing because of that's the movement of football. Like, that's a different Giants team that we saw the first 3 weeks of the season.
No, like I said, we're lucky we played them in week 3 and we didn't have to play them after Jackson Dart took over.
Yep. And you look at what KOC's done in Minnesota and how well he's got that sort of – I just don't know if it's like a weird little sample right now or if it's, you know, maybe this is the way. And if it is, like, we're going to see these guys in the NFL. Like, this is the next run of coach. This is your – Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, all that sort of stuff. And it's going to be followed up by all these young coaches that are leading these young quarterbacks. And the NFL is growing and staying young. And there's no better combination of a product that you could have than those two things.
Yeah, and also, too, though, you do have your bad ones, like the Miami situation, the Arizona situation is really bad.
Both quarterbacks are older.
Two is not old, but Tua is not Dart.
I mean, I know Sam Darnold is older and Baker is older, but those guys got out of those situations.
Yeah,
and
but
they
those
thrive.
Are two young coaches that suck. It is quite frankly. Arizona,
yeah, there's
going to
be.
You know,
yeah, if you give me 30 coaches, yeah, you're going to find two or three that are
Tennessee guy blows chunks. Carolina guy's ass.
I mean, in this conversation. The Carolina guys, that's not fair yet. But
his quarterback sucks. It's one or the other.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I would say the conversation, though, with what you're talking about maybe isn't head coaching. We're talking about offense, and Mike McDaniel's done well with the offense. Tua is one of these 15 quarterbacks, by the way.
Which is remarkable.
Which is why passer rating.
Yeah, exactly. Like Tua being up there. And, you know, for quarterbacks, for me, I use the eye test more than I use anything. I use that for a lot. But I think with a quarterback, a lot of it is about just the confidence that they show. Like, you can look at a quarterback on a field and very easily tell whether or not they have confidence to go out there and win. Jackson Dart has confidence. That guy's got the balls the size of Manhattan right now, right? Like, he's not afraid of anything, whether it's running, whether it's passing. Patrick Mahomes the same way. The guys that carry themselves with that swagger that feel like they can do anything, that's the guy that I want at quarterback for me. I don't want a guy that has a blank stare like Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa right now or however many countless quarterbacks we've seen out of there. You've got to have that guy with the swagger. And, like, evaluating quarterbacks, I got to have a guy that's going to be a leader, that's going to get this team to rally around him. That's why I never would have drafted Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray couldn't motivate me to get off the toilet. I mean, how is he going to get inside a locker room and be the leader of 53 guys that need to go out there and play? Dusty had mentioned it earlier before the show. He goes, you see the way this team rallies around Jackson Dart? You see the way the team rallies around Patrick Mahomes? You see the way teams rally around those guys that they believe in, that have that confidence? That's what you need out of your quarterback, man. You need that type A personality guy that has no fear whatsoever. It's cool to see it.
How many times have you had a job where, like, your boss sucked? And everybody else that comes to work is like, yeah, you know, whatever. Like, we're fortunate enough to have a boss that's, you know, somewhat hip with us that kind of understands, like, you obviously, like, kind of, like, brought him into the station. He was your producer. Now he's, like, you know, in his own office. But you can go into his office and be like, hey, did you see this? And he's probably seen it, or he's probably has some sort of topic on it as well. Whereas in other times, like, even, like, the restaurant industry, you'd have, like, a terrible GM that you didn't like that just was rah-rah, tell you how bad you suck, tell you about the bad ratings all that. And you're just like, man, I'm on pins and needles every time I go to work. Whereas
I had a boss like that. I worked for a couple people like that. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. And then you have guys that want to win, want to do well with you, want you to do well as well. And when that sort of recipe is there, people thrive in that sort of situation. You don't thrive when you're constantly looking over your shoulder or wondering about, like, what they're going to do. You thrive better when you can relax and have fun. And that's what you're having in New York. Now, again, this might be a flash in the pan. You know, New York might win 3 games the rest of the year. but they've already won. Yeah. Like, they didn't, we didn't know if Dart was going to play this year. Like, I believe you were the one saying he's got to sit all year. You that? Like, not anymore.
Not anymore. Like, no.
Because, you know, Dayball's been rejuvenated.
Oh, yeah. You can see it. Like, that guy has rejuvenated the whole franchise, guys. I mean, he's doing, in a small way right now, what Patrick Mahomes did when he took over here. Finally had that quarterback that you could rally around and get behind and get excited about. And having a great quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes changes the entire organization. You go from 52 guys looking around going, we got to play with this guy, versus 52 guys looking around going, we get to play with this guy.
Right. And again, I don't know how much I'm bought in with the Giants, but I'm bought in with the vibe of that team.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, they were 7.5-point dogs last night at home against Philadelphia, and they won 34-17.
I mean, they motorboated them last night. That was as big a motorboating as you can see in the NFL.
One team changed quarterbacks. The other team had a team meeting.
Yeah. Winners win, losers meet.
Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to see this youth of football that's not going to go anywhere, because football is the number one organization, or the NFL is, you know, business number one in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that they're doing is these young coaches are thriving. And I think it's interesting that we've seen better quarterback play, but how much credit do we give to these young minds that a lot of people said, oh, young head coach can't work. They want to incorporate Madden into the NFL. Well, maybe that might work. You know, like, maybe that does have a chance at working, and we're seeing that happen. Now, again, there's going to be your duds. You're going to have your strikeouts. You're going to have all that sort of stuff as well. But you're seeing what the future of the NFL is, and it's on the sidelines, and it just pours out into the young youth of the teams. So Jacoby Brissett may start for the Cardinals on Sunday. That's random. He'll be the 40th nice. Different quarterback.
Wait.
That's right.
Who?
Jacoby Brissett. You got to risk it for the Brissett. He may start for the Cardinals. Your boy Kyler Murray's got an ankle injury.
Kyler Murray sucks. He's just a terrible quarterback and an even worse
baseball.
Leader.
But yeah, that'll be the 40th different quarterback to start in an NFL game this season.
Wow.
If you want to count Flacco twice, the number would be 41. Brissett would be the ninth change at quarterback.
You know, those are real NFL issues. I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday about, you know, the Chiefs and you know, kind of getting the feeling and the pulse of, you know, what kind of people are thinking. And you look around the league, the Chiefs' biggest issue, as we talked about, is just finishing off games, not committing dumb penalties, kind of like cosmetic stuff, right? It's not, oh my God, we're starting Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, or oh my God, we need to find a left tackle, or oh my God, we need to do this, we need to do that. Imagine if you're one of these teams right now and you're a fan of a team or whoever, you're working for an organization, and Jacoby Brissett is suiting up at quarterback for you, right? Think about the mindset that you would be in if that guy was going to be your quarterback. Would you watch the game? Honest to God, if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, you're probably taking this weekend off. No, I mean, there's other things to do. No, I would be. I mean,
if Gardner Minshew started for the Chiefs, would you watch
probably
it?
Probably not. No. I mean, I'd be moving on. But once you go to the
backup. I watched Carson Wentz play the last game of the season.
Well, I needed 1 yard. I mean, that's why I watch
that's
it.
How
almost
you watch
didn't
it.
Get it. Yeah, right.
I got Brissett throwing an interception.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
But once your quarterback goes down and you've got the backup in there, you're screwed. I love it. We need to do better at backup. Nobody's backup quarterback is leading anybody anymore to anything. It's very rare that happens.
Say that to Kurt Warner.
Right. 1999.
You know, Nick Foles.
Yeah. Nick Foles, which is now almost 10 years ago, too. And, you know.
Jackson Dart.
There's two exceptions to that. Well, Jeff Hostetler took over for Phil Simms in 1990. So, I mean, we're going
the tuna.
Back. You know, the three examples that we have of a backup quarterback coming in and, you know, maintaining in the NFL in 1990 was like there was no salary cap. You could stash guys on your roster, you know, and then you move forward. It's like if you go to your backup quarterback, you're effed. You just are. I don't care who it is. And so, like, we've got these situations like we're upset here at 2-3 and looking around. Think about if we were on our third quarterback of the season or if we didn't have that left tackle. I mean, we have issues here in Kansas City. There's no question about it, but they're minimal issues compared to what some of these other teams have around the NFL, man. I couldn't imagine being in week 5 is what we're in right now, week 6 of the NFL season. Yeah. And it's the 10th day of October and teams are already starting to talk about the Jacoby Brissetts of the world playing. That blows, man. That ruins your entire season. Jacoby Brissett sucks.
You said we have minimal issues in Kansas City. Are we going to have a conversation real quick about what's going on with Xavier Worthy? Is that a bigger issue than we're not?
I just think he's 165 pounds, and he's going to be that guy that gets banged up all the time. Yeah,
that was Carrington's tweet yesterday that we drafted 168 pound wide receiver that maybe last year was the exception. The shoulder injury, obviously a self-inflicted wound from Travis Kelce, but now the ankle issue.
Right.
Because last week we were like, the ankle's not a big deal. He did it on the plane. He's going to be fine. He was clearly beat up in that game against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And then obviously everybody practiced on Wednesday, but it was a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, not a chance on the field. I think there's a little bit more there than we're thinking.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I still expect him to play on Sunday and get out there and do his thing. But, you know, I think
need Rashee Rice.
We got one more. I mean, he saw his tweet yesterday, ready to eat. Like, we're less than a week away now, guys. I mean, this time next week, he's back and Mitch is fired up. And, you know, everybody's, you know, getting there. But, I mean, you know, with the emergence now of Breshad Smith, too, maybe he takes a little bit more of a role in the offense this week. But I also think this week is an opportunity for Tyquan Thornton, too. I mean, these defensive backs that the Detroit Lions have, as we sit here today, they're backups right now, right? They're playing with a lot of backups.
Three starters out.
Right? And so you got the opportunity to go up over the top on these guys. I think Tyquan Thornton can have a big day. I would try to minimize the use of Xavier Worthy, obviously. But, I mean, you still need that guy out there, and you need him ready to go. And, you know, sometimes you get on that injury report just because you want a veteran day off and you need some rest. I don't know if he's in that category, quite honestly, at this point in time. But, you know, it's anytime you see somebody like that pop up every single week on the injury report, you do get a little concerned, obviously, about it. But if he's that guy that's on it all the time because he's 170 pounds or whatever he is soaking wet, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. I mean, it's like putting Mac out in an NFL game. I mean, look how little Mac is. I mean, and Xavier Worthy isn't a big guy at all. I mean,
no, imagine as much as, yeah.
You do. Worthy. You yeah. Do you really?
165, 170
pounds.
Do you
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm that
same.
Much. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. I will say, though,
there you go.
I will say to your point, though, all of football's gotten smaller. You know, linebackers aren't 245 pounds anymore. They're 215, 220 pounds. They're running sideline to sideline.
I don't think it's smaller. I think they're more physically in shape than they've ever been because you don't see the fatties anymore in the NFL. Remember the guys who used to, like, the fridge and all that, these big fat slobs that used to play in the NFL?
What was that Gilbert guy's name?
Yeah, Gilbert Brown.
Yeah. When you're talking about linemen, oh, absolutely. But you're talking about other receivers. Positions. No, receivers, linebackers, corners. These guys have lost weight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody, though. I mean, it trickles down.
I wouldn't say linemen have lost weight. Linemen are still 330 pounds.
They're different. They carry their weight differently.
With linebackers, that's not the same. They don't carry their weight differently. They are 20 pounds smaller because they have to be.
Look at the Chiefs linebackers.
Like, Zay Flowers is 180 pounds. Like, we don't talk about that. A lot of small players in the NFL.
There are.
There's Jameis Williams is not that big.
Not that big. These guys, so I'm not. Like, he played all 3 years at Texas, never missed a game. So I'm a little, like, and that was Big 12 and SEC football. I'm a little, like, slow and hesitated to say, like, oh, yep, this is just who he is.
It's also an ankle injury, which is why I'm on both sides of the fence here.
Ankle?
Or foot for Worthy.
For Worthy? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's an ankle / foot injury.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's one of those things where that's also football. Like, every year it's Patrick Mahomes' ankle at some point.
He's been on the injury report every week too. You know,
Kyler Murray, an ankle injury, Xavier Worthy, an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the stuff that's going to happen. Like, we're not seeing Xavier Worthy get like blown up.
Yeah.
Other than Travis Kelce destroying him.
Exactly.
But we're not seeing that. So like, if that was the case where it's like every play, cause like Devontae Smith, small,
mm-hmm.
Jaylen Waddle, small.
Yep.
Like those, they're everywhere, right? Like, good point by Matt to say, but like the other thing that we haven't seen is the speed like these guys have. And I think that's another thing that comes with it. Like, it's kind of hard to find a guy who's going to be 6'4 that runs a 4.3.
Well, yeah.
You're just not going to have that.
It's physically almost impossible.
You're just not
going to
have that.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you got Xavier Worthy who runs a 4.2, whatever, but he's going to be 170 soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you want to have? Because, I mean, Tyreek Hill was thick.
Yeah, he was
but
thick.
But he's 5'10.
Yeah.
But he was thick.
Yeah,
he's
a
thick man.
Strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, Xavier Worthy is. Maybe this is going to happen throughout time, but I mean, again, like, this is the NFL. Like, I mean, it's not, again, like, he didn't go up, catch a pass, come down, and some guy just, you know, absolutely leveled him. That's, you know, that's not the case. This is just one of those things that, like, I'm interested to know because when he came back in that Baltimore game, the offense was rejuvenated, but that was also a bad Baltimore team. Back-to-back weeks, the AFC player of the week has been a quarterback that went against Baltimore's defense. It was C.J. Stroud this week. It was Patrick Mahomes 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Who did the Ravens play this week? whoever it is, that quarterback will be the AFC player of the week or NFC player of the week.
But also, too, they played great against Jacksonville from an offensive standpoint, too. It, you know, this is what happens to a lot of guys in the NFL or sports in general. They just can't stay healthy and their careers end. I mean, and that's where you see a lot of these guys. You go, whatever happened to that guy? Well, he could never stay healthy. You know, it happens so much in this league. And I'm not obviously putting Xavier Worthy into that category yet for this organization. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he can do, because he did get rolled up on that ankle in Jacksonville. I mean, you all saw that on TV. So hopefully it's something that, you know, you can nurse back, get him out there and play on Sunday, because they're going to need him on Sunday. They still need Xavier Worthy to get out there and play, because they don't have Rashee Rice back in this offense. And I think this can be a big week for a guy like Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton, quite honestly, to have some success. And all the wide receivers, Hollywood Brown could have some success this week against this defensive backfield, right? And turn your head around, right? Turn around, look at the football. Ball in
Matthew
the air.
Stafford is who goes against that Baltimore defense.
Well, good luck.
So what do we hear? Puka, 10 or more receptions, exactly. 120 yards, Stafford 320, 4 touchdowns.
And Baltimore wins 35-34.
Well, somebody says, as soon as Rice comes back, Worthy goes on IR, and they still never play.
Don't say that.
It's not going to happen. We did miss a backup quarterback that thrived, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yes, technically. Brady. But still drafted by the team. He's not like one of these vagabonds that, you know, I mean, that, again, an exception to the rule, right?
But even here in Kansas City, we've counted on the backup quarterback multiple times. Chad Henne, Matt Moore, like
yeah,
those guys
to leave a drive, you know, and that kind of stuff. And again, you got Andy Reid basically saying, "Okay, look to your left. Okay, throw it now."
On the back of their helmet, it just says "student driver."
All right, we're gonna do a parallel parking here.
But no, I mean, like, it's seriously like those guys came in, and Andy Reid's like, "Okay, step one, drop back, look to your. There's the guy, throw it right." And it,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You do that kind of stuff and you move it down the field for a drive. If you got to take over mid season or week 6 of an NFL season because your quarterback's done for the year, you might as well start looking at the draft.
Somebody else says, how can you forget the great backup Matt Castle? He went 11-5 and started in Kansas City. Went well for us. Damn it, I was so excited.
Everybody was, and then they allowed Todd Haley to be the coach. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.